Okay. So luckily there were other subjects. And now...
Well, what kind of pressure were you feeling to do, you know, even just better than average because of your father's profession and his role in the school?
Look, you have to see, there was also the pressure, the village pressure in a way, that I was the son of the teacher, of the teacher in the village, and look, I should be a good pupil, you know?
Yeah.
And no, and the thing was that my father always told me, you can do it. I got a lot of support from him. And but it's not so trivial, because I was remembering back at this early stage, the first year of gymnasium, I was as threatened in my me as a person as I'm today, when I have these fears of that I do not get a grant, or that, you know, it was important during that time for me. I think I was supposed to be good, yeah. And now, what do I remember? Early gymnasium. Early gymnasium was 67, 68. And this was the time in Germany of the 1968 movement of the social revolution, of the social change. And it was the time of the Vietnam War. And what happened was, early Vietnam War, remembering as a kid, these Americans with their tanks, with their fancy machines. Essentially, my brother and me, we played soldiers, you know. Then, around 68, 69, this changed. And it had a little bit to do with that the old people in the gymnasium, now the ones with 17, 16, 17, that they started to be against this war. And it started a little bit as a fad running through... shouting out Ho Chi Minh, you know. But it was also the time where I started to develop critical thinking. And I remember really back very vividly discussions when I was perhaps 12 or so in school, that I was talking about this injustice of this bombers over Vietnam killing people who do not even see them, and that it's not you, that it's against us also being a pilot up there who really does not see anymore what he does. He's flying a plane, and what the result is after pushing a button is that people die down there. And look, it also then became the time, what happened was, I got more and more interested in history. If you ask me today what were the three interesting subjects when you were between the age of 12 and 16, 17, school-wise the subjects I was interested in was history, mathematics, and religion.
Wow.
And, yeah. And let's talk about the three. Math was simply easy. And it was beautiful and pretty, you know? And uh, look, math is the one thing where you have truths which hold. And I was fascinated by that. And I did when I was, very funny situation. I was 13 years old. The math teacher went to the other teachers and wanted that I jump a grade, because he said, I'm so far ahead math-wise from the other kids that why shouldn't I jump? And it was so funny that the guy he talked with was my English teacher. And I was, as you expect, awful in languages. If you look at my grades in a gymnasium, they always were a top grade in natural sciences and math, a good grade, now suddenly in German, because now it became good. Now we had to write, how do you call it, Aufsatz.
Essays.
And we I did not have to write these words down. They dictated to me, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And the moment that you do not say dictate, how do you say in English? When the teacher is telling something and you have to write it down.
Yeah, well, I guess dictate would
be. Okay. When what happened in the subject German, which, as long as it had two parts, that it was the dictate and the essay, I got an average grade. Because what happened was it was insufficient in the dictate, and the essay was good, so it was average. So essentially I jumped now to good the moment the dictate was gone, which was gone when I was 15.
Wow.
So essentially I had very good grades in natural sciences, and in math. I was good in German. There was no average. And then there was a week in English and French. And if you would have asked me that I would ever would go to a foreign country, you know, speak a foreign language, no way. Oh, that was a funny situation. I hated languages. And when I was 14, I would have to choose a third language, which would have been a Latin. And I first started, and this was voluntarily, and I, during that time, was thinking perhaps I do not want to exclude to go in medicine, and during that time we were told you still should have a basic knowledge in Latin, and if you want to go to medicine. And what happened was that after 4 weeks, I was fed up because, my first exam was again non-satisfying, as expected. And I told my teacher, anyway, I do not want to go into medicine. And I was at this stage 13 or 14 years old. I want to become a geneticist. And
where did this idea come from?
What happened was that I was interested generally in natural sciences and math, as I told you. Mm-hmm. And so in the time I had, I was reading a series of, I think in retrospect, really good popular science books for kids. And so I was really reading about new developments in math, new developments in physics, and one of the books was new developments in biology, Neue Biologie. And it seemed that I was so impressed that then I said, I want to be a geneticist.
Okay.
And but this was, don't take that too serious.
Right.
Because
what did it mean? What did you think at that point in your life? You say, okay, I want to be a geneticist. What did that mean you would do?
I had this imagination during that time that we could study What were the experiments which they described? They described this future that eventually one day we would be able to clone genes. They had this idea that one day we would be able to get to know how memory works. They had this idea that we could get a good idea how life developed on Earth. And this was stuff I was fascinated with. I was as fascinated in this stuff as I was in mathematics. So these were the two things. But let's put that on the side.
Okay.
Then what was at during that time for me at least as important was history and religion. Now, history... I think a similar passion as I had to know how life works, I wanted to know did we come to where we are today. And this was my interest, you know, in history. And at the same time, I also saw a religion, because the religious education we had in the gymnasium was called, it was a Protestant education. However, this meant that for the teachers we had, which were excellent, this was not that they only would have taught us stuff in the Bible or so, but they also told us how did it come to that stuff, what are other religions, what do other people believe, and look, this again is a sort of history. This is how are we here as human beings on this earth, and how can we get what are the different possibilities we have? And I was fascinated by that stuff. And this was what changed then. I think these interests stayed. They were then what was added was then with middle puberty that I became interested in girls. And what else changed at this time? No, my interest states. I was interested in biology. And biology became interesting the moment it was not simply looking at different flowers, different plants, but how does that stuff work? I think that was one of the very important questions that I always had as a kid.
And in this new this new series of science books,
uh-huh.
or the series of new science
right.
books, was it a German series?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
And were they introducing you to the idea of genes and DNA and the double helix and, maybe the beginnings of the revolution in molecular?
No, what happened during that time was that a revolution was predicted.
Okay.
It was clear that something exciting will happen.
Okay.
Right. One thing, going back earlier, it's not true. I also have vivid memories when I was in elementary school. My father was teaching chemistry to the 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, and they did fancy experiments. And I remember that it was one of the greatest things sitting in and watching. Yeah.
And what was it about?
And
what were you seeing? Do you remember what you were seeing that it was?
Look, total trivial stuff, but like putting a sodium into water and see it explode,
oh,
you know?
Right, yeah. Uh-huh.
And making caramel bonbons.
Okay, great.
But,
yeah.
And I really have to say, when later I got interested in chemistry myself, what happened was that I was allowed to use the chemistry lab of the Grundschule to do my own stuff. And I know that I spent hours in this lab when my father was doing administrative stuff.
Yeah. And what did you do?
What did I do?
What experiments did you do?
Oh, very lightly, very trivial chemistry, yeah, color reactions, yeah, stuff like that. And, yeah.
Were you using a lab manual, or were you just doing these on your own? Were you dangerous in your...
I think very tough to say in hindsight.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Did you blow any windows out of the lab building?
No. We had my father and I had the code that if I had a new idea, I should tell him before.
Okay. Very smart man, your father.
And Now, where shall we go on?
Yeah. Well, when you were having all these difficulties in school, were you giving much thought as to what you'd become as an adult? What would end up with you? What would end up happening?
You know, I think during that time, I thought I will be a teacher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But until puberty. With puberty, teaching, no way, come on. Yeah, but before puberty, I thought myself, I think my father was my role model.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what changed about teaching? What was it about teaching that lost its glory?
You know, I do not remember. Perhaps simply revolt against my parents. I'm not, yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this might be stating the obvious, but what kind of expectations did your mother and father have for you and your brother in terms of what you should become or what you should do, what directions you should go?
You know, this is a very tough question because I think that my mother swore that she would not do to her kids what was done to her by limiting her. Now, clear cut, I think one of the principles in the family was as long as education is involved, you can do whatever you want. And now my brother is a teacher. I was not thinking about that. Yeah. What I wanted to do when I was till the end of gymnasium or in the latest phase of gymnasium, what I wanted to do was I wanted to become a mathematician. And until the age of 18, I would have gone into mathematics.
And not genetics?
No. Around this age 15, 16, 17, out of this broad range of stuff I was interested in, I think if you would have asked me, what do you want to do as a profession, I would have thought I want to go into mathematics. Mm-hmm. And also after the Abitur, immediately afterwards, if you would have asked me, I would have said, yeah, I will study mathematics. And eventually with physics, but mostly mathematics. And
become a university teacher or a gymnasium teacher? Or?
I was not thinking in teaching.
Okay.
I thought that I could have the abilities of doing something else with mathematics.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hope academia. But look, academia was far away. University was 20 kilometers away.
Okay.
I had no idea how...
It was a whole world away.
Right. And in my small world, yeah. No, I wanted to mathematics. With the option, in case I cannot do mathematics itself, I could become a teacher, yeah. But that would be now...
Yeah.
Right.
And what did your brother end up? Did he end up going to the university, or did he go to the Lehrerschule?
He went to the Lehrerschule, and but what were his two subjects? Math, physics, and music. It's wow. Typical for our family. Yeah.
And how do you account for that when you say it's typical? How do you account for this persistence of interest in mathematics or ability?
You know, I think there are two things are together. One thing is I believe that there is an inherited component in the ability to do math. And I think that my brother, me, have got that from my father, eventually from my mother. With my mother, we do not know because she did not have an education here. She was stopped before. But judging her, okay, stop here. And and then the other thing is that I think my father simply was able to bring enthusiasm over to the kids and to show us the beauty of natural sciences and math. And I think this influenced me as well as my brother. Yeah. Okay.
And so you said that when you were older you were able to go into the chemistry lab in school and play around. But how did your parents encourage, you know, one direction over another in terms of what they brought home? Did your father bring home chemical kits or?
Oh, sure. Sure. However, that was not as interesting as his lab. Sure, I enjoyed doing to use these kits like that. What's interesting, I never was interested, as friend of mine's were, in electronics.
Okay.
I found it boring to. After I knew how the principle of a TV works, that was it. I was not, yeah, I did not want to go in more detail. Or, yeah, I had this one friend who was building TVs and electrical circuits. Okay, but it was not my interest. But this anyway was when I was 15, and there were more important things than science, you know, and this was also the age where with 15... the time was over of the chemical experiments.
And then what were you occupying your time with?
What is a 15-year-old doing? Yeah. Or dreaming of? Dreaming of.
Okay.
Yeah. Dreaming of girls, you know, which did not work out because they were untouchable at this age.
Okay.
Yeah. So...
this series of books that you were reading, was that something that you went to the bibliotheque in search of, or did you...
I think I got the first one dealing with astronomy, I got from my parents. And I remember how I was fascinated by this idea of black holes, this idea of how vast the universe is, how small we are. And look... then this was to follow that up, for example, with biology. That is, goes directly on, you know. How does the universe develop? Where do we come from? That is, So I was at around 13, 14, I was extremely interested in that.
So once had one book, you needed...
Oh, and then what I did the following, and that's also now typical Swabian. So... I wanted to have the other books. But you do not simply get books or gifts. You have to do something for it. And so look what I did starting when I was 13. I was teaching other kids for money. Kids who were not as good, a grade below me, teaching them math. So for about 6 years, I made, for me, a lot of money, perhaps 20 marks a week or so sometimes by tutoring kids who had difficulties in school in math. And then simply, with, look, I had now this money, and I could do with it whatever, it seemed whatever I wanted, and so I bought the other books and other stuff for that. Until then it came to the big crisis. I was then, now we had 14 and a half, and I had this tremendous amount of money. I had 300 marks. Wow. And I gave this 300 marks to the Viet Cong. And
This is great.
And my parents were flabbergasted. You are 15 years old, and you have all this, and can't you use it for something else? And I told them, look, we have enough money as a family. And so, yeah, I gave it to to build up villages in North Vietnam.
And you had mentioned that your grandfather was a social democrat,
right,
and then became a member of the Nazi Party.
Uh-huh.
But what was the political traditions in your family?
Oh.
Was there some kind of political Good. Tradition that you were drawing upon that made you sympathetic to the Viet Cong?
Oh, yes and no. Okay.
Or give you...
Mm-hmm. Look, so my father, as I told you, had this experience to be a soldier when he was a kid. And he really, this was very important for him afterwards to deal with this idiocy, as he said. And he became active in grassroots politics. I do not remember him different. That he first started to do real grassroots politics. Oh, but local, on a local level, only limited to the village. But this led then in a matter of 7-8 years that he became member of the city council, and then in the end he was mayor of the whole thing. And now, contrary to my grandfather, my father does not see himself in a social democrat tradition. Something weird, anyway, must have happened between my father and his parents. Or it was destroyed by my mother, because thinking back, we had way more contact with the side in my mother's side. And my father's side, I remember my grandfather as an old man. A nice and pleasant man. However, that's it. And so my father sees himself until today in a liberal tradition. Now, in a way, it's this sort of liberalism which in the from which the FDP, the started after the war, and but my father was never a member of the FDP, and since 15 years I think he's even opposed to them, because what happened was that in the FDP, in the Freie Demokratische Partei in West Germany, two traditions came together. There came the one liberal tradition of similar to liberal values you have here in the States. What are the values they had? Their values were that you have a right for that you have the liberties you are guaranteed here in the States, but additionally you are only free if you have a free education and a free good education, and if you have and then additionally what became extremely important for my father is that is now more a social democrat idea, is of that for freedom you also have social need social security, you know, health care, that you have a source to live when you are old, stuff like that. And so he saw himself in a sort of liberal social democrat tradition, yeah. But how did I come here?
Well,
what did you ask me?
What kind of political traditions may have, you know,
Right. No, and then clear-cut on the base somewhere, he is a pacifist. Because his argument always was that we idiots did not know what we were fighting for. And he said that the German soldiers in World War II went into Poland, in the average soldier thought that he would fight evil there. And it's so easy to convince soldiers to fight for the wrong thing or for nothing. So, look, when I was 14, 15, this was the time when the myth of America was breaking in Germany. What happened before, my father was a total supporter of Kennedy of this time, and that's a very early vivid memory I have. You know, I remember the Cuban crisis, and we had a TV during that time. I do not remember watching TV, but I remember my parents sitting in, and me sitting in front of the TV and seeing these ships cruising and this fear that something bad would happen. Yeah, this is one of the very early ones. And then when I was, I think, when this 15 revolution of myself, of sending money to North Vietnam, was in a way also, I have to, my father was, what worked extremely well between the two of us was that we started to talk with each other was of very early age, conscious age, you know. I think we started to discuss the world and our small and big problems. It must have been when I was 10, and it went on till I left home, you know. So for at least 8 years, we spent at least one evening per week discussing whatever went through my, whatever ideas I had or what he had, and what happened in the world that was important. And I think to be opposed to the Vietnam War became totally, he could accept that. Okay. But what he could not accept was that I give my 200 or 300 marks all in one chunk to North Vietnam.
Now, was that for his like Swabian nature coming out, that is like a frivolous use of money, or was that more of a political platform that's being too committed to this particular ideology?
Tough call, because we will come to similar stuff soon.
Well, how much do you think that was typical for a young German and maybe a young German male growing up when you did? Because, you know, the fate of, to have discussions like this, was this typical, do you think? To have discussions, to talk about it a lot, because this is a time when Germany is, the vision of Germany is becoming very clear and apparent and permanent.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just in it's in the newspapers all the time.
Look, it was in the newspapers. We talked in the school about it. Thinking back, this was stuff which we discussed in school. But clear cut, compared with my friends, I had this father I could talk with, and who really seemed to be interested in what I'm thinking and took me serious. And one of the things is that he never was dogmatic. And that contrary to my mother, my father could admit that there are always multiple sides to a story. My mother is much more dogmatic than he is. This does not mean that he has his principles where you cannot overturn him, but,
So were you having more conflicts with your mother over this issue of supporting directly the
No, yes and no. The thing was that essentially, she had nothing to say.
Okay.
Yeah, because she could not counter my arguments. Yeah. So, and look, I still was the son she liked and she loved, and So, in hindsight, it's one of the stories she even is proud about, that I did that. But she needed a few years to to accept that, yeah. Because, we later will discuss some interesting stuff.
Okay. Well, so it seems all this is happening at 15, 16 years old.
Right.
You know, you're coming into your own at school, but you're also finding these kind of new distractions, like women,
right,
and also kind of finding your own road to go with these political ideals.
Mm-hmm.
So what were you thinking in terms of what decisions you need to make about your future at about 15, 16 years old, or what you were going to do?
When I was 15, 16, essentially my future was, or what I was thinking of was, I finished the Abitur. And then when I was 15, 16, and then my idea was then that after the period which I would have in Germany after the Abitur, I would have to go to the soldiers. There was a general draft still. Or I could become a conscious objector and could follow this path. And so during that time, I was thinking, okay, I will do the duties I have to do after the Abitur, and then 2 years later, I will go to university and study mathematics.
So university was really your direction you were pursuing.
Yeah, but it was not so important, because the important thing when I was 15, 16 was to think it through and to decide what I would do when I'm 17 and a half. And because then the decision was, do I become a conscious object or not? And essentially, there was never a question that suddenly with 15, 16, I knew that I will not become a soldier. And at that time, there was still general draft. And so when you are 17, essentially you get a medical and you are registered. That when you are 18, that the army can call you. And during this registration, I stood up and said that I do not do it. And that I will be a conscious objector. And so when I was 17 and a little, essentially I had my trial where I went in front of a jury and had to defend why I did not want to go to the army. And essentially what happened was that they accepted me as a pacifist. And then instead of being drafted to the army, I was working then for 18 months with mentally and bodily disabled kids, and was living with 9 kids for these 18 months. And this was an extremely important time for me. Why was it important? First, I left home. It was for the first time that I left for more than vacation my parents. So I had my own apartment. It was important because for the first time I did a 40-hour per week job, and that I directly had responsibility. What happened was I essentially was working on the Schwäbisch in home for mentally and bodily disabled kids, and I was essentially the person living with one group of 9 young men. And I went there in the morning at 6 o'clock, prepared breakfast, woke them up, we had breakfast together, then they went to work, I prepared lunch, they came for lunch, at 1:30 they went back, and then we spent the evening together. And this was an important time for me. And because what happened? I really enjoyed working with these kids, and professionally I thought that it would be impossible for me to go into mathematics. In the future I thought I want to do something with my life which has to do with people and where I can help people or work in a similar way as I did there. But it also became clear that to work on the same capacity as I did it during that time with kids, that would not be satisfying for me, because what happened was that I really was good with these kids for 6-8 months, and afterwards it became a routine and I was not challenged. So what else was important during that time?
Let me pop in a new take.
Mm-hmm.